Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Mr. Higginbottom, My Best Enemy.
Now, Susan, you sure you don't mind waiting for your lunch till I get back from the shops?
No, that's all right, Mother. I've just made myself a cup of tea. That'll keep me going till you get back.
Right, I'll just pop upstairs and get changed.
And I'll go in the front room and finish writing to Alfie.
Yes. When does he get back? He's been away a week now, hasn't he?
Yes. Well, he said it might be a fortnight before he gets back. Mind, he wasn't sure.
He must have an important job with his firm, seeing they've sent him specially to London to install that machinery.
There are three or four others down there as well, but Alfie's in charge of the electrical equipment.
Yeah, that's not what our Jimmy's cheeky version of it is. He said that Alfie's the only one daft enough to hold both wires to see which is the live one.
That's just like him. Now, then I'll take these tea things in the front room with me.
All right, love. Can you manage the door with that tray?
Yes, thanks, Mother. Hey, what's this on the door? Jolly Jim's Funhouse. Come and be tickled. Admission threepence. Oh, him and his jokes. Are you in here, Jim? What's that?
Me, with me Frankenstein death mask on. Look at it, Susan. White lips, green cheeks, purple conch. It looks just like you without your makeup on.
Don't be cheeky, scaring me like that.
Oh, sorry, Susan. Come and sit down, sister dear.
Oh, careful, mind this tray. Stop pushing me. I can sit down without your help. What's that?
It's a comical cushion. Look, it says so on the label. Comic cushion, when inflated, gives great merriment. Watch your friend sit on it and go red in the face.
Horror. Clear off. I want to finish this letter to... Oh, no. Who's done that?
Done what? Oh, I see. There's a great big pool of ink spilled all over your letter to Alfie.
Yes, I'll have to start all over again now.
Luke, what a lucky thing. This big pool of ink is only a piece of blue plastic.
What? Oh, no. Not another stupid trick. Oh, get out. Go on.
I won't get out. It's my front room as much as yours. So put that in your powder and puff it.
Look, Cheeky, just leave those tea things alone.
Well, I like that. I'll pour you a nice cup of tea and you shout at me. Shall I sugar it?
No.
Right. I put two lumps in, like so, and hey, presto!
It's all bubbling out over the side.
That's right. Foaming sugar, it's called. And for my next trick, disappearing teeth.
They'll disappear, all right.
Ow! Oh, you struck me. Come on, put your mitts up while I belt you one.
What's going on in here?
Oh, Susan hit me on my sore neck.
Oh, no. What happened, Susan?
He's got some silly jokes here. Death marks, some blobs of ink, and he's just spoiled my tea with some foaming sugar.
It was only a joke. You didn't have to go and clout me on me boil.
I've told you before, Susan, ignore it. Boil? But, Jimmy, is that a boil on your neck?
Yeah, where Scraggy Sue hit me. Ooh. The pain, ooh, the agony.
Just a minute. Let me look at that boil.
Well, think I'll be off now.
Come here while I pull it off.
Oh, get off me, you big... Ooh, ow, ooh, that hurt.
I thought so. Look, Mother, boil indeed. It's plastic, stuck to his neck. Another stupid trick.
What's all the shouting about in here?
Oh, it's him, Grandad. He's nearly driven me mad with some silly jokes he's got from somewhere.
Oh, jokes, you see?
These jokes were a present from somebody.
Yes, yeah, somebody as silly and as childish as you are.
You're right, Susan. Who did you get them from, Jimmy?
Of my silly, childish Grandad.
What? Father, what's he talking about?
Well, he's right in a way, but I didn't go out and buy them for him.
No, he won them in a pub raffle.
Don't talk nonsense.
Now, Jimmy's right, Susan. You see, they had a raffle to raise funds for the kiddies' treat, so they decided the prizes should be for kids as well.
Say, clever. Thank you, Grandad. If you were a horse, I'd give you a lump of foaming sugar.
That'll do, Jimmy. Hey, did you give Susan that postcard?
A postcard? For me?
Aye, he said he had one for you this morning.
Oh, yes, here it is in my pocket. Here, Susan, get hold of the card. Careful.
Oh, I'm not taking it off you. It'll probably explode or turn my hands yellow or something.
Well, if you won't take it, I'll read it. It's from Alfie. Dear Susan, dear with two E's. He thinks you're an antelope.
Jimmy, behave yourself. Is that really a postcard from Alfie?
Yes, ma'am, listen. Dear Susan, I'm missing you terribly down here. Food good, digs good. I'm coming home by train today. When I say today, I mean tomorrow, as when you get it, I'll have written it yesterday, which is today for me when I write it and tomorrow for you when you get it, if it's Saturday. Leaving 9 a.m. today, which is tomorrow for me. All my love and kisses, Stanley Unwin.
Don't be funny. Give it to me.
Oh, dear, he would come back a week early. I suppose I'll have to meet him now.
But he hasn't said what time his train gets in.
Oh, I'll ring the station and meet him. But only to say hello. I've arranged to go to the shops this afternoon with the girls from work. I'd better have a quick lunch and get downtown.
Look, Pat, we can give you a lift into town. Higginbotham's calling for me in his taxi. He should be here now.
Oh, good. It's put me behind schedule having to give Susan an early lunch. After all that rush, I hope Alfie was on the 2 o'clock train.
Oh, you'll be lucky. He had to change on the way up.
Oh, so what?
Well, he's probably been arrested for trying to change his underpants on Crewe Station.
Listen, funny boy, we've had enough of your jokes for one day. Go and see who that is at the door.
Yes, ma'am.
And if it's Higgy, don't start any trouble with him.
Right, Grandad. Watch me get him mad. Hello, Mr. Higginbotham. Nice to see you again.
Hello, troublemaker. What load of bother are you trying to cause this time?
Nothing. I just said I was glad to see you.
Yes, with a cheeky smirk all over your clock. You haven't got a little surprise planned for me, have you?
Surprise? What do you mean?
You know, a few bear traps in the hall, or a bucket of boiling oil over the door. I've heard all about you and your practical jokes.
Yes, from Big Mouth Aussie.
What was that?
I said you've come without Aussie. Anyway, I'm pleased to see you. I'm very, very pleased indeed, I am that. Yeah, I'm right pleased to see you.
Look, will you stop saying you're pleased to see me?
What for? If I'm pleased to see you, why shouldn't I say I'm pleased to see you?
I don't know.
Aren't you pleased to see me?
No.
Why, what have I done?
Nothing.
Well, why are you pleased to see me then? I mean, I'm pleased to see you. Why can't you be pleased to see me?
All right, then. I am pleased to see you.
What's all the row about?
Mr. Higginbotham was just saying how pleased he was to see me, weren't you, Mr. Higginbotham?
Pete, for heaven's sake, shut the brat's mouth. Sit on his face or something.
Ah, you've soon gone off me, haven't you? It was only 2 seconds ago you were pleased to see me.
I'm warning you, Pete. I'll stick his head up the chimney in a minute.
What have you been saying to annoy Mr. Higginbotham?
I only said I was pleased to see him, ma'am. Didn't I, Mr. Higginbotham?
Oh, I give in. Let's be off, Pete.
Right, Higgy. Could you drop Pat off at the shops?
Yes, yes. Anything to get away from here.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Higginbotham. I hope it's no trouble to you.
Oh, no. As long as we get away from here, I'll give anybody a lift.
Good. I'll get me cap.
Not you, you young man. Oh, come on, Pete. Mrs. Clitheroe, come on.
You're a bit on edge this afternoon, Mr. Higginbotham. Is something the matter?
Aye. I'm in the doghouse. The wife's fallen out with me.
Aye, what's the matter?
Well, you know last night when I came straight from work for a jar or two in the Rose and Crown?
A jar or two? You were there all night. What about it?
Well, I'd completely forgotten. I'd promised to take the wife out last night. It was our wedding anniversary.
Get away? How long have you been married, Mr. Higginbotham?
Too long. She went mad, and you see, I told her a lie. I said I was working all night with the cab.
Ooh, Mr. Higginbotham, that's naughty. You won't go to heaven if you tell lies.
And I'll just have to put up with you at the other place. Now, look, Pete, if she asks you, you never saw me in the pub last night, understand?
Well, if you say so, Higgy, but...
Really, you should be ashamed of yourself, Mr. Higginbotham. Deceiving your wife as well as neglecting her.
Oh, I'll be taking it out tomorrow night. There's a hot pot supper on at the Mucky Duck. But, you know, she's furious with me because I forgot about last night.
Well, I should think so, too.
All right, then, Higgy. I wouldn't like to cause more bother for you. If she asked me, I didn't see you, I won't say anything.
Oh, thanks, Pete, for keeping quiet. I'll buy you a pint for that.
I don't drink, so I'll have the money instead.
Oh, just behave yourself. Shall we be off now?
Yes, we'd better go. I'm supposed to pick Alfie all up on the 3 o'clock train from London.
What? But Susan went to meet him off the 2 o'clock. Have you heard from him then?
Aye, worse luck. He rang me this morning, full of cold, hardly any voice, and natting about it being a bad line. Anyway, I have to pick him up like he said.
What's he been doing down in London?
Don't you
You know, we went down for the cup final.
Don't talk, Daff. The cup final was last May.
Oh, well, Alfie explained that in a letter, you see. He said they had to play extra time.
It's my own fault for listening.
Come on, let's be off.
Hey, bring Alfie back here first, Mr. Higginbottom, because I want to tell him how pleased I am to see him, like I was with you, right pleased to see him. Honestly, Alfie, all you great big twit. After all that fuss about the train tomorrow today, you come home on the bus this afternoon.
I told you I got the same timetable wrong.
Look here, 9 a.m. But you see, that's fries only. Then there's 9:15, but that's sats X. Yeah, I should have caught the 8 o'clock here, sats only.
Oh, I see, where it says, not running after September 20.
Ah, that's right. Oh, heck, I couldn't have come home on that train, it stopped running.
Yeah, you should have come home on a fish train, you daft codshead.
All right, Jimmy, I'm back, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, and I'm right pleased to see you. Is it in your suitcase? Yeah.
Is what in my suitcase?
Only I said it won't be toffees, it'll be something more expensive, I said.
Yeah, well, look, I've been very busy down there, working day and night.
That's what I said. Perhaps he hasn't had time to go around the shops for me for present, I said.
Well, you're dead right, I haven't.
So I said he'll be giving me the money instead, I said.
Belt up, I said. You're getting nothing off me.
No present for me, your best friend.
Nope.
Right, from now on, you're my worst enemy. And when Mr. Higginbottom calls you for your blood, I'll lend him a bucket to put it in.
You can do what the heck you... Higgy? My blood?
Yes, he went to meet you off the 3 o'clock train from London. And now it's turn 4. He'll have been waiting and he'll want paying.
What are you talking about? Higgy waiting for me?
With his taxi at the station. You can't refuse to pay for it when you rang up and ordered it.
But I didn't ring up and order it.
I know, but I did.
You? Well, he'll murder you then, not me.
I changed my voice, said I had a cold, and told him I was you.
Oh, you little menace.
It was a joke. Out of this book in my granddad's joke box. Fun on the phone. Disguise your voice and ring your little friends. So I rang my little friend, Mr. Higginbottom. The big twit.
Right, well, you take the blame for it. Yeah, I'll tell him when I see him. Anyway, I'm going home and I'll see Susan later.
Oh, just a minute. You haven't had your drink yet.
Yeah, what drink?
Some lemonade to celebrate your return home. Here's your glass. This is mine. Bottoms up.
Yeah, well, I could do with a drink after that bus trip.
Oh, go on then. Cheers, Alfie. First today.
Yeah, cheers. Hey. There's nothing going in my mouth.
No, but there's plenty going down your shirt.
You are? Oh, heck, I'm all wet.
I know, but you mean well.
Hey, shut up. I mean, all down the front of me. This glass is cracked or something.
No, look, Alfie, there's a little hole near the top for the lemonade to run out of it. It's a trick.
Oh, you little... Come here while I smack you.
What's up? Can't you take a joke?
You take a joke? You offer me a drink and all I get is my shirt wet. Oh, it's my own fault. I should have stopped in London where I was safe from you.
I'm sorry, Alfie. Here, have my glass.
No, thanks.
Oh, go on. Mine's all right. Have a drink.
All right, but I'm warning you. Help! Ooh.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
There's a dirty great spider in the glass.
Don't panic. It hasn't drunk any of your lemonade. It can't. Hey, Luke, it's made of rubber.
Oh, another blooming trick.
Well, that does it. When I see the others, I'll tell them all about you.
Oh, yes. Go on, then. Tell your big lies.
I don't have to tell any lies about you. The truth's bad enough. Anyway, I never tell lies.
Yes, you do. You're always telling fibs about me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. I'll bet you couldn't go a day without telling a lie about me.
Oh, dogs are daft.
I'll bet you too, Bob, that you tell a lie about me today.
Right. You're on. I will bet you two, Bob. I'll cue you, we're betting.
Right, that's two Bob you'll owe me when you tell a lie about me to my friend Mr. Higginbottom.
I'm going to tell the truth to your friend, Mr. Higginbottom. Your friend? He hates you.
He did, but a lot's happened while you've been away. I did Mr. Higginbottom a very good turn.
Ah, but you couldn't have done him a good turn. You're still in England.
Oh, don't be funny. I'll give you another drink of my lemonade. Listen. Mr. Higginbottom was in terrible trouble and I saved him.
How?
Eh?
Yeah, how? How did you save him?
Oh, how? Oh, yes, well, I helped him and saved him from losing his job and going to prison.
Well, how? Come on, you just tell me how. Come on, come on now, tell me how. How? Tell me, come
on. All right, I'm trying to think of
one. Remember. Ah, I've got it. I've remembered.
Have you?
Last Monday morning it was. I was walking towards our school and Higginbottom's taxi came screeching round the corner and crashed into a police car.
Did it?
Yes, and the police car was empty, so Higginbottom jumped back in his taxi and drove off.
Did he?
Yes, well, I knew he'd be dead worried about police finding out, so I didn't go to school. I dashed round to Higginbottom's house.
And blackmailed him?
Yeah. No. I said, Mr. Higginbottom, I've come to save you from going to jail, and I don't want anything for doing it. He fainted. So I started slapping his face to bring him round. Come on, Mr. Higginbottom, wake up. Wake up before I knock you out.
All right, I'm awake. Cut it out or I'll belt you.
Listen, Mr. Higginbottom, I've worked out a plan to save you. You say you met me on my way to school, and I took ill and you brought me home and stayed with me all day. Then the police can't prove you were out in your taxi.
But what if the police start to give you the third degree? You'll have to tell them the truth.
Never. They don't call me Tight Lips Clitheroe for nothing. They'll never get me to squeal, whatever they do.
All right, come on. Let's get your shirt up before I use my truncheon.
Ow! Ooh, ooh, ow! Ooh, ooh, ow! Ooh.
What are you squealing for? I haven't got my truncheon out yet.
Your hands are cold.
Well, come on, talk. Come on, tell me the truth about Horseface Higginbottom.
Ah, drop dead. Horseface is my buddy, see? And I ain't no yellow canary, see? I ain't gonna sing, see?
You'll sing when I twist your arm.
Ow.
I haven't got all of your arm yet.
No. You're standing on me foot. Oh. Anyway, whatever you do, I won't sing, see?
I'm gonna count to three, see? If you don't sing, see, I'll use this knife, see? One, two... three.
Happy days are here again. The sky above is clear again.
Jimmy, are you going to tell us where you've been for the last 2 days?
I can't. It's a secret.
Right. In that case, you go to bed without any supper. You wicked, wicked boy.
Yes, and tomorrow you'll have nothing but bread and water. You terrible, terrible boy.
Wait! Don't punish that good, kind, brave lad.
What, Higgy?
He is a hero. Unselfish, courageous, and what is more, he is my chum.
Mr. Higginbottom, have you gone daft? You hate Jimmy.
I did, but not anymore. Now I love him.
Oh, don't overdo it.
Your son has suffered torture and starvation to save me from prison and to think I used to hate him.
That's true, Mr. Higginbottom.
I've said some terrible things about you, Jimmy.
Yes, when Ozzy repeated them, his mother washed his mouth out.
I've been a villain.
A big mouth villain.
Yes, a monster.
Yeah, a Dracula. Well, they're not so handsome.
Can you ever forgive me? I beg you on my knees.
Oh, get up, you're wetting the mat.
Oh, son, to think I called you wicked. Forgive me, please. Oh.
And me, I called you terrible.
Well, down on your knees with Higginbottom.
Forgive us, please. You are the noblest, kindest, bravest boy in the whole world.
Oh, you shouldn't say that, even though it's true. Stop crying now and get me some grub. Higginbottom, you keep on crying and wash me shoes. They're a bit muddy. So you see, Alfie, that's why Mr. Higginbottom is now my best friend.
Rubbish. I've never heard such a load of tripe in all my life.
Are you saying that I'm telling fibs?
No, I'm saying you're a little liar.
That's nice. I mean, I might have exaggerated a little bit about Higginbottom crying and maybe he didn't really go on his knees, but he was very sorry and he is my friend.
Look, I don't believe you'd do anything to help Higginbottom. In fact, to help anybody but yourself.
Well, there was something else about it.
Ah, ah.
What with that?
Well, I mean, if Higginbottom said I'd gone with him to help him, then nobody could blame me for not being at school on Monday. And if somebody said I was in the park playing football, Higginbottom would have said that they were telling lies, because I was with him.
Well, you crafty little twister. You played truant and used Higginbottom as an excuse.
Oh, Alfie Hall, what a nasty mind you've got. Fancy telling lies like that about your friend Jim.
My friend? After all the trouble you've got me into with Higginbottom?
I've told you he's my pal now. I'll fix it for you.
Yeah, I'll do my own fixing and you're the one I'll fix. I'll tell him the truth, that it wasn't me on the phone when I rang him. I mean, it wasn't me talking when I spoke to him. I mean, it was you speaking, but you used my...
mouth.
Yes, no, voice. Shut up.
You can tell Higginbottom what you like. He won't believe you. I've told you. Old Foggo and Fred's my pal now.
Yeah, well, I'll tell him what you call him when I see him as well. Foggo and Fred.
Oh, hello, Mr. Higginbottom. What do you want?
I don't want any lip from you for a start. Is your grandad in?
No, Mr. Higginbottom. There's nobody in, only me.
Oh, well, I'll call back later. By the way, is there any news of Alfie, the missing link?
Oh, Alfie,
Is that you, Mr. Higginbottom? Oh, good, I wanted to see you.
Ah, and I want to see you.
Well, that's nice. You've both got what you wanted. Mr. Higginbottom's going, Alfie. Say ta-ra.
Ta-ra, Mr. Higginbottom. Wait a minute. I want to see him about that phone call.
Oh, when you phoned him asking for a taxi.
Yeah, that's right. No, it isn't.
What was the idea of ringing me to meet the 3 o'clock train when you weren't on it?
I didn't want you to meet the 3 o'clock train.
You wanted him to meet the 2 o'clock one?
Yeah, no. I came on the bus.
You never mentioned a bus. You said you were coming by train. I'm at the 3 o'clock and I want 5 baht for my waiting time.
I'm giving you nothing. I didn't order a taxi.
Alfie, are you saying Mr. Higginbottom is telling lies?
A liar, am I?
No, no, you're telling the truth, but it's a lie. I mean, you heard me ring up, but it wasn't me.
Oh, Alfie, you're not going to say it was somebody else who rang up.
No, yes, I mean.
Somebody pretending to be you.
Listen, you know very well what...
Who was it? I know. Why don't you say it was me?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was you. Mr. Higginbottom, he rang you up pretending to be me.
Well, of all the stupid twits... You can't even think of your own lies. You have to let a kid put it into your mouth.
I'm sorry, Alfie. I should have let you think of somebody yourself. I know. Why not say it was our Susan?
See, if you don't shut up, I'll thump you.
And if you don't cough up, I'll pulverise you. Let's have my money.
There's no need to shout. I'm not deaf.
You are a good shouter, Mr. Higginbottom. Like you were saying, Alfie, remember that name for Mr. Higginbottom you said before you were going to tell him?
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, that's another thing, Mr. Higginbottom. You're Foggo and Fred.
You what? Foggo and Fred? Come here.
Yeah, get off me throat. Get off me throat. I didn't say you were Foggo and Fred, he did.
That's right. You didn't hear Alfie calling you, Mr. Higginbottom. It was me. I'm a ventriloquist. Just like I was on the phone, wasn't I, Alfie?
Yes, you were. I mean, no, not a ventriloquist. You were in it, on it. The phone. I can't breathe.
Well, you want some air? It's 5 bob a mouthful.
All right. Let go. I'll pay you.
Right. Carry on breathing while you count the money out.
Yeah. And you're rotten 5 bob.
Thank you for nothing. Well, I'll be off now, lad. Tell your grandad I'll see him later.
Right, Mr. Higginbottom.
Yeah. And as for you, Alfie Hall, next time you ring me, I won't bring me taxi. I'll bring an ambulance.
Alfie, I'm going to call Higginbottom back. I can't let you just hand over 5 bob like that. It isn't right.
Yeah, we know it isn't. Don't tell me you're starting to feel ashamed.
Yes, I am ashamed. Of you. Aren't you going to give Mr. Higginbottom a tip?
Oh, you've asked for it and now you're going to get it. Come here.
Now get off. It was only a joke. Haven't you any sense of humour?
Sense of humour? He nearly choked me to death and I had to hand over 5 bob for a taxi that you ordered.
That's what I mean. You played a joke on Higginbottom. You fooled him. It was very clever of you, Alfie.
Mm, I suppose I did fool. What are you on about?
Look, Alfie, I'm sorry about your throat, but I didn't think when I phoned him up. I mean, look, can't we be friends again?
Well, I shouldn't,
oh,
but...
come on, shake hands. Mm.
All right, then. Yeah.
Ah, you little devil, I'll bite your ear off for you.
It was only a joke. I mean, I forgot I still had the buzzer on my finger.
Ah, well, I'm forgetting nothing. That buzzer's just one straw too many on the camel. I mean, it's back. It was the last one that made the camel...
Get the hump.
Get the hump. Break it. And that's why I'm going to tell your granddad about you.
Because you got the hump.
No, because I'm a camel. Because you've gone too far.
You deserve a good thrashing.
Now then, what's all the shouting about, Alfie?
We can hear you out in the street.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's him, Jimmy.
It's no use telling lies, Alfie. They could hear it was you shouting.
Alfie means it was your fault, and he doesn't need to tell us.
Susan, I didn't see you coming. Did you crawl out of the woodwork?
That's enough of that.
What has he been up to?
He's been trying to turn my friend against me.
Who?
His best pal, Mr. Higginbottom.
Higgy? Jimmy's best pal? Have you been smelling my whiskey bottle, Alfie?
Alfie, will you explain what you mean?
Well, you know how he saved Higginbottom from getting into trouble over his taxi? Gave him an alibi. Higginbottom, Jimmy did. But he said he was somewhere else. Higginbottom with him, Jimmy. Well, he wasn't.
Susan, now that Alfie's explained to you, will you explain to us?
Alfie, if you mean Higginbottom not taking his wife out on their wedding anniversary, that was me. I mean, I wasn't with him. I had to say, but I was.
Grandad, whatever it is Alfie's got, I think you've caught it.
Just keep quiet, you. Alfie, tell us what he's done and don't let Jimmy confuse you.
Don't blame me. Blame the stork for carrying him upside down.
Jimmy, will you keep quiet? Now, what's he done, Alfie?
But I'll tell you. He's been playing truant. Last Monday he didn't go to school and he was in the park playing football. There, I said it.
Well, we know he was in the park on Monday.
Of course, I was playing football with him.
You what? But you were playing truant with him? Letting him?
Last Monday was a school holiday, and we all went to the park together.
Yeah, but what about Jimmy saving Higginbottom from the police and you all crying and that?
That was a little joke I told Alfie. But you know what you've told, don't you?
No. Well, I mean, I...
You've told a lie about me to all my family. I wasn't playing truant.
Well, I thought...
And you know what that means, don't you?
What?
You've lost your bet. Hand over the two, Bob.
Oh, you little twisting...
Come on, pay your debts, or Mr. Higginbottom might get another order for a taxi. Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. I want a taxi to the hospital, please.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, and Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
I suppose you're wondering whether Alfie paid me. Well, he did. Just before the sweet shop closed. He said he had no change and gave me a 10-bob note. I dashed round to the shop, plunked the note down and asked for half a pound of fudge. The man gave me the fudge, picked up the note, put it down again, picked up the fudge and clouted me across the ear. It wasn't a 10-bob note Alfie gave me. It was a soap coupon. Thank you.